Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Al Michaels, and welcome to The Silent Struggle. I'm here today with Jeanette Walls, Cupcake Brown, Farrah Abraham, and Alice Smith, four ladies whose lives have been greatly impacted by drugs and alcohol. Ladies, please introduce yourselves.
Alice Smith here.
My name is Jeanette Walls.
Farrah Abraham in the flesh.
Cupcake Brown, and yes, that is my real name.
Let's hear it for our guest with us this morning. Okay, quick question, Cupcake. I know everyone wants to know, how did you get the name of Cupcake Brown?
My real name is Cupcake Brown, but my friends call me Cup. You see, what happened was after my mom had given birth to me, she had requested a cupcake and the nurse had mistakenly assumed it was what she wanted my name to be. When I was younger, I was called Lovette, but shortly afterwards, I stopped people from calling me that when I found out it was my biological father who named me that, not my mom or dad. And besides, I'm proud of my name.
Now let's get into serious business. What are drugs and alcohol? That's a stupid question, but it's a serious question. I know you ladies are holding a lot back and are ready to let it all out for us. The only reason you are here, to be honest, is to tell me what happened. Let's start with you, Alice. Tell us your story.
Well, it all started at a party and I was drugged in a game called Button Button.
What is Button Button? Please tell the people in the audience that don't know.
Button Button is a game where they put LSD into different sodas and they mix up the sodas. Then they give them to people, not telling them if the drink has LSD or not. And to win, you get high off LSD, and I won. I enjoyed the experience and continued to use after. I keep getting on and off my drug addiction, and some of the people around me are understanding, like my mom and dad, but the people at school just won't leave me alone. They're constantly talking about me and how I went clean and how I'm a traitor. And one time they lit my locker on fire. It's really bad.
Wow, Alice. I would hate that to happen to me. I'm so sorry. So, what drugs did you use, Cupcake?
Almost anything that was given to me, I used. I was always trying new things. For as long as I can remember, during that time in my life, I was always high off of something.
Wow, that must have been hard. Now, back to Alice. How did the drugs and alcohol affect your family?
My family was surprisingly supportive. They helped me get on and off my drug addiction when I wanted, and they were there when I needed to talk.
Now, let's hear for Jeanette and Farrah.
Well, my mom was extremely unsupportive of her family. She was an alcoholic. She drank all the time, more and more as life got tougher for us along the way. She was barely ever trying to make an effort for us. As time went by, my dad began getting drunk all the time and unsupportive as well as my mom. It was horrible. Me and my siblings were the ones trying to keep our family together and supporting us with food and stuff, but we realized that our parents being drunk most of the time and not helping us along the way was getting us nowhere in life. So we left them. We went off on our own and lived our lives hoping for the best. They drove us away from each other because of the alcohol, making them basically lose interest in us and our family as a whole.
Wow, that almost made me tear up. Now, Farrah, how did drugs and alcohol affect your family?
Most of the people around me do drugs. In high school, everyone smokes weed. My baby daddy, Andrew, was starting to smoke a lot, and I didn't like it. He dyed his hair and turned into a complete jerk. He also ended up dying because his friend was driving drunk and they got into a car crash. My mother was also on some type of drug. I don't know exactly what, but it caused her to be abusive towards me. But this happened when I was older, so I was mature enough to just walk away from it. This made me not want to see my mother anymore because I didn't want Sophia, my daughter, to be around this type of environment. My mother just entered rehab yesterday, actually, and I think she'll be doing much better when she comes out. And maybe we could build a strong, healthy relationship that we used to have.
I hope for the best. Now, Cupcake, what's your story?
Well, I should probably start from the beginning. It all started when I was only 11 years old. After my mother passed away, my whole life just seemed to fall apart. I soon found out that the person who I thought was my dad wasn't actually my dad. Instead, my biological father was a stranger I had never met before and never got the chance to meet since I was placed in a series of foster homes soon after. This is where I was introduced to drugs and how cruel the world can really be. To be completely honest, drugs and alcohol are what enabled me to survive as long as I did. I don't think I could have survived the abuse, the pain, throughout all of those years without them. They allowed me to escape reality, even if it was just for a little while. But as you know, there was always consequences. I made some decisions, horrible decisions I never imagined myself making. As I got older, it only worsened. At first, I never considered quitting drugs because in my mind, everything was fine, just the way it was. When I finally faced reality and tried to quit drugs, it wasn't easy. I mean, drugs, they were all I've ever known since I was 11, and I needed them. I had surrounded myself with people who shared the same views on life and lived in my own little bubble, not caring about anything or anyone. but I knew I had to get away from that in order to recover, and I'm thankful that I did. I wouldn't be here alive and against all odds to graduate from law school without the support of my real friends and family.
I'm so happy for you, Cupcake. Now, our special guest tonight had some very bad times at home life. Mayella Yule.
Well, in my case, it's different. My dad, he's quite a tricky fellow. My dad drinks more than normal, and this makes him kind of aggressive, you know? We gotta do whatever he orders or wants. He's sort of manipulative. Sometimes it's hard and tough. Plus, we're a motherless family, so it makes it even harder for us. My dad can just sit and drink alcohol all day and be drunk and agitated everywhere he goes. I'm a sad and unhappy girl, and all because of him, but he doesn't know this. I think he will beat me up or punish me if he ever knew that. Life here in Macomb, Alabama, with my dad is pretty much a big headache.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we can tell with these ladies, Mayella, Cupcake, Alice, Jeanette, and Farah, had a very bad experience with drugs and alcohol. But when is drugs and alcohol good for you? Never, I tell you. Never. Next time on The Silent Struggle, we will talk about home life. I'm Al Michaels. Till next time, America. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Silent Struggle. I hope everyone enjoyed last week's episode about drugs and alcohol. We have learned many things about our guests, Cupcake Brown, Alice Smith, Jeanette Walls, and Farah Abraham. Before we start with our episode tonight, please take a moment and remember our guest from last week, Alice Smith. This morning, around 3 o'clock, she passed away from drug overdose. So this episode is remembrance for you, Alice. Tonight on The Silent Struggle, we have a special guest you will see later tonight. This week we are here with Jeanette and Farah, and today we will be talking about home life of these two ladies. So ladies, how is your home life?
Well, I'm a teenager, so of course I don't get along with my parents, but my family and I fight way more than the average family. With my mom being on and off drugs and my daughter Sophia crying a lot, my mom just doesn't understand. It bothers me because she's a mom, so she should expect a baby to cry. She went through it, but it's almost like she forgot how to raise a child. When a baby's screaming, yelling doesn't help anything. It just makes everyone more stressed and makes Sophia more. My parents are always fighting, and sometimes it gets physical. One day, my father caught me and Derek in my room in the middle of the night because I snuck him in. He came in and hit Derek. He ended up getting arrested, but Derek luckily dropped the charges. This was when I got sent to my grandparents' house for 3 weeks as punishment for sneaking him in. I had no phone or computer. One time my mom and I were arguing and she threw a blanket. It landed on Sophia. She shoved me. Sophia started crying, so I ran up to my room and called the cops. I heard the doorbell ring, so I came downstairs, but by the time I got down there, my mom had already opened the door. She had two knives in her hand. The cops were yelling at her to put the knives down, but she just had a blank stare and stood still. It was like she zoned out. The cops had the gun pointing at her. She could have gotten killed right there just for not putting the guns down. Eventually, she put them down and got arrested. I moved out right after this because the cops said my mother couldn't live in the same house as me and Sophia, and I didn't want my daughter being around this type of environment.
Holy, can't say it. Can't say it. Now, what about you, Jeanette?
When I was a child, my parents weren't very supportive, especially my mother. My father, however, was somewhat supportive, way more than my mother ever was. Sometimes he would play with us and spend time with me and my siblings, but not always like a normal parent would or should. Both my parents were drunk most of the time, and as time went by, it was almost as if they were losing interest in us, like they didn't care, and because of that, my siblings and I left them, hoping for the best, both of us and our parents. I still have that guilty feeling about leaving them to this day, but I honestly think it was for the best, for me at least. But like I said before, it got to the point where I just felt the need to leave. I felt that staying with them, with unsupportive parents, having to fend for me and my family was getting me nowhere, and it was not going to have me end up where I wanted to. I obviously felt terrible having to do that, but I needed to get out of there for my own good. When I left, I moved to New York, and that was that. My life just went on from there.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest, Jean Louise, a.k.a. Scout Finch.
After hearing everyone's stories, I feel pretty lucky to say that my home life is great. Even though it can get kind of annoying with Aunt Alexandra always fussing about the way I dress and how it's not ladylike, I'm happy. I have Jem, Atticus, Calpurnia, and even Dale during the summer to play with. Let's not forget about my newest friend, Boo. Most people might see a problem with the mother figure not being around, but I don't really remember her, and Atticus is more than enough for me, even if he is never home. Besides, with Aunt Alexandra, I have all of the female influence in the world. Atticus never yells at us. He answers all of our questions and accepts me the way I am. But I think we all know the truth. Sometimes I struggle with being a lady. To be honest, I don't really mind or care. But according to Aunt Alexandra, I should because everyone else in Maycomb seems to. Maybe it would be different if I grew up with a mom, but who really knows? All I know is that I'm happy the way I am. And maybe as I grow older and continue to wear more dresses, I can make Aunt Alexandra happy too.
Home life for most people is the best time of the day. After school or work, all you want to do is go home and lay down and be with your loved ones. But for these ladies, Farrah, Scout, and Jeanette, their home life was bad. Always scared to go home with their loved ones. Love is what drives the world, and without it, life can be hell. Next time on The Silent Struggle, jobs. I'm Al Michaels. Till next time, America. For you, Alice. This morning, we have the last episode of this podcast. My name is Al Michaels. Welcome to The Silent Struggle. On this beautiful morning, we are bringing back Jeanette Walls and Cupcake Brown. We have two new guests, Manala Omar and a very special guest, Calpurnia. Four ladies that have both good and bad experiences with their jobs. What went on with your jobs, ladies?
Like I have said before, because of the fact that my parents basically lost interest in raising our family and were very unsupportive, me and my siblings left them. It was just hard to fend for the family because our parents weren't, and I just got sick of it. We were expecting to live a life that we actually wanted and eventually become successful and actually raise our own family once everything was put into place for us individually. Anyways, when I went off, I moved to New York and to finish my education. I eventually became a journalist, and from there I wrote my book, The Glass Castle, which was put on the New York Times bestseller list. Won the Christopher Award, the American Library Association Alex Award, and the Books for Better Living Award. We sold over 2.7 million copies of A Glass Castle, and I couldn't be happier.
So your job, Jeanette, went very well. You went for it and succeeded. Our next guest, we've never seen or heard from here before, but here she is, Manal Amar. And here she is. Welcome, Manal. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Al.
So tell me about your job, Manal.
After emigrating from the United States to Baghdad, Iraq, I have had quite unique but shocking experiences with my job. As an American aid worker for the Women for Women International Association, with an Arab descent, it is pretty hard getting around to the new environment and society around me in Iraq. When I started to work for the association, it was tough getting around the city there, you know? There was a lot of violence and poverty. Every day on my way to work, I would witness horrible things. It's horrifying to see your own people harming their own community. In street corners, I would see mothers with their babies and kids begging for money or help, and men fighting other men. It was horrible. In my job, I got to help many young girls with their daily struggles. Their stories were fascinating and so interesting, Al. One of the girls that I used to work with there, her name was Samar Shakur. I remember her telling me that she suffered physical abuse by her stepdad and her uncle almost every day, and she was undefensive as well as her mother. She said that a family of eight all lived in one small beaten-up house and that they barely had food every day. Her and her siblings had to go in search of something to eat out in the streets. Al, hearing this brings a deep sorrow in my heart, you know? Like, to think to yourself, how can these young girls be suffering this? One day, some cold-blooded Iraqis saw me helping these undefensive girls and they judged me for aiding them. Most of the time, I was really scared of them, you know. I was frightened that they would do something terrible to me for helping out these girls. I can say that I was brave because, Al, let me tell you that none of this was easy and fun for me. It was very stressing and it was just too much. You had to be very careful, but at the same time, you had to know your ways to be able to accomplish this job.
Cupcake?
As you guys probably remembered, as I was recovering from drugs, I was also struggling to find a job. Well, technically not struggling to find one, but just to keep one. You see, while I was using, I tried to convince myself that if I was a working, independent woman, then me and everyone else would believe that I had no problems with drugs, that I could balance using drugs and living my life as a normal adult. However, during that time, my jobs never lasted long. Parties and drugs were always more important. When I admitted that I had a problem, that was when I chose my job and school life over the drugs. Even though I still struggled with keeping a job and had some relapses, my true friends and family helped me through it. But there was always those people who tried to bring me back down, or didn't really believe that I could change and be successful. So when I got accepted into law school after months of hard work, and I was actually stable in my job and life, I could really say to all those people how wrong they were.
Our special guest tonight, flying in all the way from the other side of the country, Macomb, is Calpurnia. What's your job like, Cal?
Although I love Scout, Jem, and Atticus greatly, they're like my second family, I still have many things I don't like. For one, I hate how Atticus's sister, Alexandra, treats me. She treats me like a servant, like she's better than me because I'm not white. I'm not used to this considering the Finches treat me like family. She tried to get Atticus to fire me because she said I was a bad influence. I knew Atticus wouldn't fire me for no reason, but the thought of it scared me. Atticus stood up for me, though he told Alexandra I've helped him a lot since his wife died, and that I'm sort of the children's mother figure. He said the rest of Macomb also treats me like this. When she had the women over for a missionary tea at the Finches, the women treated me terribly. Another thing that bothers me about work is that I don't see my son as often as I please because I'm always working. I know working is a part of life, but many women struggle from not spending enough time with their kids because of these things.
Jobs, they aren't always fun, but they become fun when you get paid. Sometimes you have to adjust to your surroundings. Manal had to adjust to Iraq, and Cal had to adjust to Alexandra. Money is money. The entire world revolves around money. With it, you're happy. Without it, you aren't. The silent struggle shows you the difference between people's lives, from their home life to their jobs and all the way to drugs and alcohol. It puts you into their shoes. Alice, Jeanette, Farah, Cupcake, Manal, Calpurnia, Scout, and Mayella. Life is always different. Thank you all for listening to The Silent Struggle. I'm Al Michaels. Till next time, America.